You are listening to Ideas and Leaders Podcast. I'm Elena Paventa, Executive Communication Coach and TEDx Organizer. With each episode, I'll share with you communication tips and ideas from top business leaders to help you excel in your career. Welcome to the next episode of Ideas and Leaders Podcast. Today, I have a great guest with me. This is Dan Ram. He's an event MC and he's an international speaker at over 100 events per year. At his events, he's hosting people like Barack Obama, Richard Branson, a lot of artists, celebrities. I'm really excited to speak with Dan today. Hi, Dan. It's great to have you on Ideas and Leaders.
Thank you so much, Elena, for having me. And in advance, thank you for creating this conversation. You love the space of speaking. I love the space of speaking. And hopefully our audience is listening in because they want to grow in this space as well. So thank you for the work you put in on these podcasts.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It is really a pleasure to speak with you because when I read your bio, I was so impressed. You are working internationally. You are speaking internationally. And I'm really interested. How did you become an international speaker? So I'm sure that you were not born like this. There was a way how you got there. So how did you start and how did you get there?
All right. Full disclaimer, unplanned career trajectory, but there is a science to it. So let me tell you my story, and then let me tell you how others can do it. So my story was not a science. This was never the plan. Quick background, I'm the son of an Indian diplomat. So I grew up in 10 countries around the world. I was a shy, introverted, overweight, acne-faced, nerdy child, not a charismatic, dynamic speaker. And I grew up not wanting to be around humans. In fact, my parents bought me animals because I would talk to animals, not to humans. That's how much I stayed away from people. And so I have had a massive personal transformation. I know you like coaching and so do I. And for me, coaching is because I have transformed myself from that introverted child to now an introverted extrovert. So I'm still an introvert, but I can be in public. And I've made a career out of that as well.
I can relate to this.
Yes. And so I love what change has done in my life. Now, the speaking is only a byproduct of a larger internal transformation. But to answer the question about how I became an international speaker was by chance, because I worked for the UN, I worked for KPMG, I worked in the government and as advisor to the national government of Ireland. I was an entrepreneur. And in all of these projects, I had to do some public speaking. And because I was bad at it, I paid more attention on how to improve and improve. But I put so much effort into it that I realized at some point I surpassed others. And so I was getting invited for the speaking rather than for the exact content. So I could have been the CEO of a company, but I was asked to talk about change management or talk about HR, or talk about anything because people just wanted to hear what I had to say. And so it was quite organic. It was quite accidental. But the big moment was a TEDx talk. And I know you are a TEDx curator. I've also seen on your website that you've got a free tool for those who are interested in being a TEDx speaker. So do check that out as well. And so for me, what I realized is that certain platforms create certain opportunities. And the TEDx was one of that. It changed everything for me. And then there were certain other moments with Sir Richard Branson, again, changed things. So it was very organic. That is the honest truth. But looking back, for those who want to be an international speaker, I can see a few ingredients that are important. One is you have to put in the work. You need to get a coach or a mentor because there is no blueprint. There is no 5 steps to being an international speaker. It is so customized to the individual. What works for me in a small island of Ireland is not what will work for you if you're in Boston or New York or in Warsaw. And that's just geographic. So you need to invest in learning the trade. And the only way to do that is not by books, and not even by courses, just by getting a mentor or a coach to help you through that. That's the one thing. The second thing is you got to love it. People feel passion. They feel zeal. You can put passionate speaker on your LinkedIn and you will not get booked. They see it in your eyes. They see it in your face. And you have to work at that. You had to figure out what are you truly passionate about. And I'd say that is a non-negotiable because any content can be consumed via an article or a podcast or, you know, a YouTube video. But why will they book you? Why will they pay you to come and speak? And it's the non-tangible, you know, it's not simply that you're majorly accomplished or you've written a big book. And that those are important as well, but they got to feel that off of you. I'd say that's the second most important thing. And the third thing is you got to find those stepping stones. For me, I treat everything in life a little bit like gears, right? So I started off speaking like most people in class as a school kid. When a teacher says, hey, can you do this presentation? And I'd be scared, but I put in the work. And then in college, it became assignments. And then in my church, it became like, hey, can you run a game for the kids? And in my family weddings, it was something like, hey, can you give a speech? It's like steps, baby steps, but you keep growing, growing. And then, like I said, the TEDx was a big stepping stone. And then a certain event with Sir Richard Branson, another stepping stone. And then with President Barack Obama, another stepping stone. So it's all about gears. You cannot go from watching Gary Vaynerchuk or Simon Sinek or a TEDx talk on YouTube and then just go, oh, I want to be an international speaker. You got to work in steps and you got to work in gears. So those are some things that come off the top of my head, Elena.
Yes, great. Thank you for those tips. I saw that your motto is start now, start simple.
Yes,
I really love it. You have it on your shirt. So for those who are not watching the video on YouTube, but listening to our podcast episode, you should know that this motto is also on Dan's shirt. So what do you mean by that, by this motto, and how it can help us in the career of international speaker or in any other areas of our life?
Start Now, Start Simple was a motto of discovery when I realized that anything that you dream has to be actioned. I think too often we ask people, what's your dream? What's your dream job? What's your five-year plan? And those are good questions. But unless you do something, I can almost guarantee that it will not happen. Very rarely does the dream just land on your laps. Very rarely. You have to do the work. But that's the problem. Where do you start? What work? Especially if the dream is scary, right? Especially if it's big. So if you want to be an international speaker and you don't even have a passport, where do you start? Do you start by getting a passport, or do you start by getting a booking, or do you go to an agent, or do you write to an event organizer, or do you practice a speech in front of a mirror? Like, there's probably 100 starting points. Where do you start? If you want to set up a business, which is where I began in entrepreneurship, do you write a business plan? Do you talk to customers? Do you build a demo? Do you do a budget program? Do you raise money? Like, where's the start? And so I think for a lot of people, where they get stuck is not in dreaming, but in doing. And so I didn't want to be yet another person on social media saying, just what is your dream life and you can achieve it. And we need the motivation, no hate, right? I do a lot of motivation on my social media as well, but I always give practical advice. So even your question on where to be an international speaker, you know, I was immediately thinking, all right, I don't want to just say it's possible because it was possible for me. And I didn't want to leave it at motivation of an introvert, shy kid becoming a speaker. I was like, find a coach, baby steps, right? So I always try to keep things practical. And that's when, at one point, I was giving a talk and I said, hey guys, what's really important is you start now. This is the moment to seize, and you start simple. Start with what you have in your hand. And that stuck. And then people hashtag that and quoted that. And I was like, oh, I think this hits a chord with people. And so what I do with my coaching and with my speaking, and even when I share on stage, I like to inspire and motivate, but I like more to empower. And for me, empowering an audience is telling them how they can start now and start simple. I do this one-on-one with people I coach, but maybe I just use myself as an example to give you one teaser as to how Start Now, Start Simple plays out, all right? So I am very educated. I love studying. I'm very curious. I have no issues. Straight A student. I did really well in high school. I got 3 certificates from U.S. presidents for my hard work. I went to Yale University, top Ivy League. I did economics. I went and did an MBA at Trinity College. I was the head of the badminton team, tennis team. I was in multiple bands. I'm telling you all of this to say that my resume looked great. I even worked for the UN. I worked for KPMG. But when the recession hit Ireland, I was unemployed. I was not unemployed for 1 week or 3 weeks or 1 month or 3 months. I was unemployed for 18 months. And it's more than just not having money. It really affects your soul. When you keep hearing, no, no, you're not a good fit. You're underqualified. You're overqualified. Or more than that, I just wasn't hearing anything, right? It wasn't even, this is the reason we're not hiring you. I just got no or rejection. I got so fed up after 18 months, Elena, that I just decided that whatever the next opportunity, I'm going to say yes. That's it. I didn't care what it was. I was just going to say yes. And so I was sitting there having a cup of tea, and a friend of mine calls me and says, Dan, can you volunteer as a fake investor to my little girls in my classroom? The reason she's a fake investor is because real investors have lots of money. And as an unemployed person, I had zero money. So I had to fake it. I had to pretend like I was an investor. And she knew that too. And I was not insulted. Initially, I was thinking, you know what, Dan, you should focus on applying for jobs. And Dan, you should focus on this. And Dan, you're a Yale graduate. Why would you volunteer? And I immediately put that ego aside because I told myself I was going to say yes. And so I took it. And I worked at it, Elena, because I'm not an investor, right? So I watched Dragon's Den and Shark Tank, and I saw what they wore and what kind of questions they asked. And even though it was a bunch of 12-year-old girls, I gave it my best. I went in, I was a good fake investor. In fact, that evening, one of the dads calls me and goes, Dan, I've never heard of you, never. But because of you, my little girl wants to be an entrepreneur. So you must be a motivator. Can you come and motivate my staff? Now think about the irony, Elena. This man wants he didn't know I was unemployed, but he wants an unemployed man who's been unemployed for 18 months, upset, depressed, frustrated, to come to his company to motivate his employed staff. I mean, I don't know if there's any greater irony than that. But I said I was going to say yes. I was not going to give that excuse of, sorry, I'm unemployed. Hey, I'm sorry, my mental health's in a bad place. I just said yes. And I worked at it. I Googled how to motivate people and how to be a good motivational speaker. And then I went in and I motivated the best that I could. But a week later, the PR company of the same company, the PR team messaged me and said, Dan, I just like your positivity, your outlook. Can you write an article about the top future trends for Ireland? And I'm not a writer, but I just said yes. And then I figured out, what are the future trends? What are the tech trends? And I wrote it down. Here's where the story gets exciting, Elena, because you are correctly probably thinking, these are just ordinary things, Dan. You're right. They're very ordinary things. But then I wrote the article. It got published in a magazine, and a real dragon, a real investor, contacted me and said, Dan, I've never heard of you, but I love your outlook on Ireland. And he said that he had just been appointed as the chairman of the entrepreneurship board to advise the Minister for Jobs, Enterprise, Innovation to write the national policy on entrepreneurship. And he's allowed to pick 7 advisors, and he wants me, a foreign unemployed immigrant, to be one of the 7 advisors. And I said, yes, let's go for it. And I worked at it. My journey from being unemployed to being an advisor to the national government and writing the national policy on entrepreneurship that has affected billions in GDP and millions in jobs was simply because I dared to start now, start simple. Start now means you say yes to whatever opportunity, whether it's volunteering, whether it's speaking, whatever it is. Don't question it. Don't undermine it. Don't underrate it. Just say yes to it. That's how you start now. Just say yes to opportunities. And start simple is use the tools you have. Was I the best investor in town? No. All I did was watch a bunch of shows. Was I the best motivator? No, but I just used what I had. And now I am a real investor. And now I am a real speaker. But you start by keeping it simple. And so that's just one example of my own life, how I'm living this motto of start now, start simple. And what excites me, yes, I love motivating. And hopefully the story motivates our listeners to say, hey, I can start now, start simple too. But what really excites me is seeing them do it. I mean, honestly, for me, social media is not about telling my story. I just love hearing and seeing the DMs from people going, hey, Dan, I decided to start now, start simple, and watch, I've now built a business. Oh, now I've just started a social enterprise or just done my first TEDx talk or something of that sort. So that's why I share the story, is hopefully to inspire, but more than that, to empower people to actually live a great life.
I really love the story, and I can so much relate to it. I think that I was at this stage of saying yes to everything some time ago when I kickstart my career. But I think that the problem here is that after you start saying yes to everything, and indeed one conversation, one email, one speech, it can lead to so many opportunities. So I can totally relate to what you're saying. But then after some time, you need to start to learn to say no, because yes, when you have a lot of opportunities, a lot of offers, a lot of propositions to start a business, to speak, to travel, you need to choose, you need to prioritize. So did you have this moment in your life when you said, okay, so now I need to actually stop saying yes? And how did you deal with this?
Yes and no. It's a mix of both, right? So using the driving analogy, I was just thinking about that when you were asking, right? So when you're on neutral or when you're on stuck, the best thing to do is to hit the gas pedal. And you just, it doesn't matter if you're up a hill or down a hill or in a mud or at a traffic light or in your parking lot. The only way to get the car moving is to say yes and hit the gas moving. But once you're moving, you're right. Sometimes you got to slow down. sometimes you got to go left. Sometimes you got to go right. You cannot just floor the pedal, right? That'll crash you into a wall. So yes, to avoid hitting a wall, you have to know how to steer and how to navigate. Sometimes navigating looks like stopping. Sometimes it looks like reversing. Sometimes navigating looks like left and right. And I think as you mature in your career, you learn to discern. I don't always get it right, but I think I still keep a healthy dose of yes. I still say yes to things that are not predictable. I still say yes to things that are not necessarily transactional. And what I mean is, oh, I am now this level. I will only do things that take me to the next level, because I think life is a lot more complicated than that. And so I'm happy if, you know, a 12-year-old says, hey, Dan, can I interview you? Fine. Yeah, why not? Yes. Yes, let's do that. Is that going to get me a huge opportunity? It doesn't matter, because if I can help them in their yes, that's good enough, right? But you do have to be wise, because time is short. At the end of the day, we all have only 24 hours. And so I think these days, I do not limit based on finance. So I don't say no to things because it's below me or below my rate. I don't believe in that. But I do say no if it doesn't fit my values. So I think what I've gotten very clear on is, why do I exist on this planet? And so if there are projects that align with those values, it's an easy yes. And it doesn't matter if it's going to take me up, left, right, or down. It doesn't matter, because as long as I'm true to my values, it's worth doing. But I mean, like a month ago, I got a huge contract from a tobacco company. That was an easy no, because it's just not part of what my values are. On the other hand, if a university says, can you talk about the future of sustainability on the planet? Even if it's free, I'd say yes, because that's such an important topic. It's something that we need to be discussing. If it's something about inclusion, diversity, you know, dealing with the marginalized and the oppressed, it's a yes. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a yes. It could be conference. It could be a business. It could be a coffee with someone, right? Someone I don't even know, saying, Dan, I've got this interest. Can we chat about it? Yes. But if it's about exclusion, if it's about oppression, no. Even if it's in the workspace. Sometimes I take an event that is great, but then I meet the team and the people in the team are not inclusive and they're oppressive and they've got a bad attitude. I'll finish the job because I'm a man of commitment, but I won't work with them again. And so for me, it's always about values. So I say yes if it aligns to values.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. I think that we all need to choose according to our values and also according to what we actually can do, because I think that saying yes to everything, and I can see a lot of cases of this. I am an example myself. I think that at some point in my life, a couple of years ago, I was saying yes to everything. And I was so overwhelmed. I was so overworked. And yeah, it is not about money. It is just about, you know, mental health. I think that this is the most important, because when there is this momentum in your career, and as you mentioned, you get emails and phone calls, and you're being asked here and there to speak, to cooperate. And then at some point, you need to say, hey, sorry, my calendar is full. I cannot work till midnight. And yes. I think that just for the mental health, this is super important.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Dan, I wanted to ask you about TEDx, because you mentioned that you're a TEDx speaker, and yeah, I have been organizing TEDx events for 7 years, and I'm a TEDx coach, also helping people to get on TEDx stage.
Amazing.
So I'm really interested in, how did you manage to get on TEDx stage? So how did you pitch yourself, and how did you manage to do it several times, because you're multiple TEDx speaker?
Five times. Wow. I need to get to the 10, and I also need to get onto the TED stage at some point. That's a big goal. But I think there's probably two routes, right, to this. There is the route of the pitch. Often a TEDx will have a theme and they'll publish it and they'll say, hey, if you have something on this theme, share your story. And then you do a full application on it. That's one route. The second route, honestly, is working with the curators. I happened to know one of the curators. He's actually my best friend. I found out he was a TEDx curator many years after we were good friends, right? So we have a couple businesses together. We hang out a lot. But once a year, he was just doing this talk. And honestly, I did not know what it was about, because he is a man that does so many things. It's just like yet another thing that he was doing. And then one time he's like, Dan, how about you speak at our TEDx? And I was like, you have a TEDx? I didn't even know that. He's like, yeah, yeah, it's just one of the many things, because he's like a community enabler. A lot of TEDx curators are really big on the community, right? It's not just about the platform, it's about the people. And so he has multiple, he's like, he's doing stuff with the American Embassy, he's doing stuff with social enterprise, doing stuff with government. And this is another community. And I was like, oh, tell me more. And I couldn't believe that. And of course, you still have to go down the route of applications. But I found out because a friend of mine was a TEDx curator, thought I'd be a good fit. Because in my opinion, I would have been like, no way. I am not ready for a TEDx speech. But because he is like, Dan, you should consider it. I did. I worked so hard for it, Elena. I probably worked harder for that than any other talk I've ever given. Because it was my first big break. And I did not know what a difference it would make to my career. But as always, I give everything my best. And I knew this one was bigger than the, you know, the colleges, even the parliament. Like, I'd spoken at the parliament already, but this was, to me, even bigger. And I was so nervous. I actually did not come for the earlier speeches. I was the last speech because I had a special something in mind. I was going to perform with my choir at the end because it was a part of my talk about diversity. So I brought my choir to sing a song about it. And so I was the last speaker, but I was so nervous. I only came into the building at 3 o'clock in the evening, but the entire day I was pacing up and down my room and preparing and preparing, and finally went in, and it was honestly a game changer. Even when I announced that I had done the TEDx talk, people all of a sudden were like, whoa. And then when they saw the video, they said, whoa. And a lot of that is just because it's TEDx. Like, regardless of what you speak, it makes a big difference. It's a massive stamp on your career. But then of course, when they watched it as well, they were like, wow, this content is great. Your delivery is great. And so that was a big, big moment. And that's how I got in, is a TEDx curator told me, Dan, you'd be a good fit. I on my own would not have had the confidence to pitch myself to it. But I love that that's changing, because I meet even honestly 8 or 9 year olds who come and tell me, Dan, I'm going to be a TED speaker, or Dan, I want to be a speaker. Because that was not my ambition. I told you 8 or 9, I was scared. I didn't want to be even seen, let alone on a stage. So I love that people are ambitious and want this. You probably get a lot of these inquiries. I certainly get inquiries from people saying, can you coach me on being a TEDx speaker? And I think the easy answer to that is yes, it's very coachable. And also it's possible to get in. If you know the right people, you know how to write those applications. I love that you help people in this, and in just my own kind of like organic way. I don't have a program or course, but I certainly know how to get in because I've done it 5 times. So yes, that's my answer and my experience with TEDx. And those are probably the two routes. Am I missing one? Is there other ways to do a TEDx talk besides either knowing someone in the community or applying when there's the call for applications?
Yes, it is applying or getting invited, right? Here, so I think that you were really lucky that you knew the organizer, but still you need to send the application, because we sometimes, with our TEDx team, we are kind of looking for ideas. We're not looking for speakers, but we're looking for ideas. So I think that this is also very important, to have an idea, not just to speak about anything, but also to have something important. So what your TEDx talk was about, the first one, but diversity and
resident alien. So I talked about what diversity and inclusion meant to me as a son of an Indian diplomat, what it meant to be an alien, because when you're an outsider of a country, the technical government term is alien. It sounds really weird, but you're actually called an alien, right? So immigrant, expat, these are other terms, but the official government term is alien. But what it meant to be a resident alien, because I've found a sense of community and home in all these countries where I don't certainly belong. Like, even in Warsaw, Poland, I have friends who do not look like me, sound like me, think like me, or have had any common experience, but we are tight, like tight. They will share with me their deepest, darkest secrets. I'm a random Indian who has not spent time in Poland, and yet I'm able to build these connections. And so I wanted to talk about, how do you do that? How do you break some of the boundaries, the barriers between cultures, between languages, between differences, to get a real sense of belonging, even in a place where we don't feel like we belong? Because I think so many of us resonate with that. You don't have to be the son of a diplomat. Even if you live in your hometown, you can feel like a different person. Even if you live in the same place you grew up, you might feel other or alien. And so I wanted to talk about that topic of resident alien, how to own your difference, but to belong like a resident.
Wow, this is an amazing idea. And I'm sure that this event got a lot of value from your speech.
And I got a lot of value thinking about it, because it was my life. It was my life story, but I hadn't spent time thinking about how to verbalize that story. It's just my personal experience. So it was actually really good for me to reflect on my own life and to put it into some words, because you know, you've got a time limit. And so I was like, how do I share what's important to me in 12 minutes? You know? Yeah.
Yes. This is always a challenge for TEDx, because you need to fit in so many things that I want to say in a certain time limit. So Dan, and the last question I wanted to ask you is a big one. It is about confidence. So I'm sure that a lot of people want to become TEDx speakers, want to become international speakers or MCs, and this is their dream, but still they lack this confidence in public speaking, or just confidence in showing up on the stage in front of thousands of people. So what is your recipe for that?
Oh, there's probably two ways to do it, a bad way and a great way. So either you project confidence or you possess confidence. And you can say this for anything, right? Either you project determination or you actually possess it. Either you project joy. I mean, we all know this, like we fake smile, right? But you don't feel happy on the inside. You just fake it on the outside. So you project it. And I think a lot of training is around projection, and it is possible, right? You can teach someone how to stand and how to look and what to do with their eyes and their body language to project confidence. I think what excites me though is possessing it, where it starts on the inside and it shows up on the outside quite naturally. Well, there's your bad way and your great way on the confidence thing. For sure, you as a coach and me as a coach easily can work with people on what to do with their shoulders, with their chest, with their voice, with their eyes to project confidence. And that's important because sometimes you fake it till you make it, right? If you change your body language, you actually do feel more confident. If you do a small workout before you get on stage, there's a hormonal change that happens because of your workout that actually lowers your stress, lowers your anxiety. So there are tools that we can teach you to project confidence. But where the real magic is, and I think where the longevity is when you possess it. You just wake up feeling comfortable in your own skin. And that's a little bit of a body of work, but it's worth doing. And that really just comes down to these two words of self-awareness. I think the more you know yourself, the more you appreciate yourself, the more you celebrate yourself. And I don't mean in an egotistical way. I mean, like you look in the mirror and you really know who you're looking at. Not an imitation, not a faker, not someone who's trying to live up to someone else's dreams, but you just know that person that's looking at you in the mirror and you appreciate that person. You can celebrate. You don't need a big accomplishment. You don't need someone else to congratulate you. But you just look and you say, I'm just happy to wake up as me. I think that's a quiet confidence. I'm not talking about some American charismatic, you know, blow you on trumpet confidence. I mean, just like you walk into a room and you're comfortable with being who you are. I think that kind of confidence is even sexier than the loud outfits or clothes or, you know, hands and voice and all of that. So I think the good news for everyone listening is it's workable. And I would say more importantly, I think you should go on that journey of self-confidence rather than just stage confidence and really understanding who you are. You can work with counselors, you can work with coaches, you can just spend time in nature going for walks and asking yourself tough questions. And I know this is a really, really helpful journey. But for anyone who's like, I don't have time for that, Dan, just give me like three top tips. I'll say this, change your body posture. So all you got to do is back erect, chest out, head up. That's the first thing. Second thing is open body language. You don't want to cross your arms in front of your chest or hide it behind your back. You put your arms out in front of you, palms facing the audience. It's a very inviting and confident stature. And I'd say the last thing is your face is the most expressive. Elena, right now, you're looking at my face. You're not just watching words coming out of my mouth because there are no words coming out of my mouth. My words are being complimented by my face. So watch what your eyebrows are doing, what your eyes are doing. So if your eyes are open, your eyebrows are up. And if you're smiling, there's a lot of confidence that comes with that. So those are my three quick tips on how to fake it, but that'll only last you for so long. So I'd say go on that journey of self-awareness. It'll last a lot longer.
Oh, I really love it that you did not only speak about how to fake confidence, but also how to gain confidence. I think that we're all on this big journey to get this self-awareness and inner self-confidence, not only on stage, but also in life. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for that. So let me change my posture.
Woo!
For the last question, and open my gestures and ask you. So, where can our listeners contact you if they want to ask you more questions?
I am on all social media at I am Dan Ram. So my name is Dan Ram. You just type in Dan Ram or I am Dan Ram. I will warn you that I respond very quickly and I respond personally. And I'm saying that because it surprises people. I think when you see the amount of content I'm putting out and the following I have, people think that it's a bot or they just want to leave a little bit of praise. They'll be like, oh, Dan, that video is awesome. Thank you so much. And I think they're shocked when I respond going, oh, that's amazing. Thank you for watching. But more importantly, what are you going to do about it? Or how is this going to change your life? And they go, wait, is this guy having a conversation with us? And yes, that is why I'm on social media, is for you. I don't sell anything on social media. I have really nothing to gain financially. I just get excited seeing other people win. And that's why I'm on social media. So my warning is, if you're going to follow, please engage. And if you're going to send a message, please don't freak out that I am going to respond to you directly and I'm going to give you resources and I'm going to think for you as to how to help you win. That is why people follow me, is because they know I'm committed to them. So I'd love for you to check me out on Instagram, is where I'm the most active. So that's where you can see behind the scenes and stories about my everyday life. If you follow on LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, you'll see about 2 to 3 times a week, I'll put out a video, and it's everything from setting up businesses to being on stage to even just tips on confidence, body language, communication, presentation. So it's a pretty wide audience because I think communication is really across the board. And then I also do just lots of general little motivation, competitions. I'm often giving free tickets to events I'm going to. And if I'm in your city, I'm always up for a cup of coffee. I'm fully vaccinated. So there we go.
Perfect, perfect. So then when you are in Warsaw, we definitely need to meet up for a cup of coffee. For our listeners, under our episode, you have the link to Dan's website and his social media. So please follow him everywhere and get in touch with him as he is answering very fast. So thank you, Dan, for being on Ideas and Leaders. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
And thank you, Elena, again for this opportunity. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you for listening to Ideas and Leaders podcast. Did you enjoy this episode? Let me know that you listened by tagging me in your LinkedIn profile and using a hashtag Ideas and Leaders. See you in the next episode.